I'll sing tonight, and then Brother Bragg's going to preach.
Sing tonight. I really didn't have a clue, but it fits just right hand in hand with the message tonight, so that's a blessing. We're going to be in Exodus chapter 17 tonight. Exodus chapter 17. Exodus 17. I first want to say thank you. I know he's not here, but thank you, preacher, for allowing me to preach. What a blessing it is that we'll come behind somebody else's pulpit. And I don't take that for granted. I really do appreciate that, and it is a It is a privilege after a Sunday like we had this last Sunday, after having 1,300 people here and 117 saved, is just a blessing to be a part of that. It really is. I was talking to my dad, and he says, "Son, you don't ever forget, there are churches across this country that don't see 117 saved sometimes in a whole year." So 117 is a lot of folks, a lot of people, and it is a blessing to be here tonight. I didn't know if I was preaching this whole last couple days. I've been giving Mrs. Britt a hard time after preacher got up on Sunday night and said that I figured Pastor Pam was going to come up and preach to us on tonight. It wasn't going to be one of us, so I had to give her a hard time. I told my wife I wouldn't, but I don't know. I can't do that. She's a good lady. I enjoy the secretaries in the office. Boy, they make us look good. I'm telling you what. I was in there looking for something today, searching for something, and they knew exactly how to help me out, and it is a blessing. I've got a good secretary in the school as well that just makes us guys look good, and that's who's behind the scenes. We're in Exodus chapter 17 tonight, in verse number 1, and for respect of God's word, we'll stand tonight, and we're going to read here the first 7 verses. It is 7:36 right now, 7:36. A few people with some money have already came up to me and said, I'm putting some bets on when you're going to be done, Brother Bragg. I don't know. Brother Caleb was last time up, and he was done. He was pretty fast last time. But between him and Brother Hall, I think 8 o'clock was pretty close. I don't know. I don't know if I can rush that fast to get through my message. But there's been money talk, so I don't know. We'll see what happens tonight. So I'm in the ministry, remember? We're at Exodus chapter 17 and verse 1. We'll begin there. And it says, "All the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Whereof the people did chide with Moses and said, Give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses, and said, Whereof is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt, to kill us, and our children, and our cattle, with thirst? And Moses cried to the Lord, saying, What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river. Take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, Is the Lord among us or not?" Let's bow our heads for prayer tonight. Lord, as we come before you, I just want to say thank you again for the opportunity to preach tonight. What a blessing it is to come in a pulpit like this. I definitely don't take it lightly. And Lord, I pray that you'd just be with the message that I've been laid upon my heart. I've just been dwelling upon this message been the last few weeks in preparation for tonight. And Lord, I pray that I'd be able to present it clear and plain to the people. I know I've got something from the message. I pray I can do the same for the people, the good people here at Faith Baptist Church tonight. Well, thank you for it, and I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Let me give you the title of my message, and as I was telling the fellows up here tonight, I said, you're going to chuckle after I saw them drinking. Tonight's, I don't know, scratchy throat night. It's just the plague's going around. I don't know what it is, but it's going around. And I said, you guys will laugh, I said, at my message. The title of my message is Cottonmouth Christianity. I want to preach a message called Cottonmouth Christianity. It's been in my heart. I've read over this passage of Scripture, and as you read on, as we've just read, talking about the children of Israel needing or thirsting. If you go on up to Exodus, just back a little ways, Exodus chapter 16 and verse 35, it says there, "And the children of Israel did eat manna for 40 years. I don't know about you, but eating manna for 40 years, I would be thirsty too. I definitely would have a mouth after being in the wilderness. My mouth would be dry. I'd be ready for something to drink. And they stand before God saying, God, man, you brought us out. And they stand before Moses saying, you brought us out of the wilderness. Now what are we going to do? What's going to happen? The seven verses, they begin to chide. They begin to complain. They begin to complain amongst themselves. Hey, Moses, where's the water at? You've given us food now. Now where's water? You brought us out of the wilderness to take us to a place you say is flowing with milk and honey, but we haven't seen anything yet. And now they begin to complain. They begin to murmur amongst themselves. They were hungry, you saw it in Exodus 16:35. I believe they probably came to a place where they probably got to a place of cotton mouth, where they just couldn't go any further, and a place where they needed something to drink. They were thirsty at that point in time in their life. I don't know how many of you know, I was going to ask the question, how many know the technical term? That's what I had the ladies in the office look up for me. The technical term for what cotton mouth really is. I don't know if anybody, there is an actual name. I didn't believe there was, but there is. There's an actual technical name for what the word means and what it is. It's called Sjögren disorder. Sjögren syndrome. It's an autoimmune disorder in which the glands that produce tears and saliva are destroyed. The condition may affect many different parts of the body, including eventually the kidneys and lungs. It's called Sjögren syndrome. Sjögren syndrome affects about 1 to 4 million people each year. I didn't realize it was that high. It was 1 to 4 million people each year. I got this off the Healthline, so it wasn't from WebMed or wherever everybody else goes. It was from Healthline. That's where I got it from. Let me give you a couple of the symptoms about cotton mouth. Let me give you the first symptoms. Dryness of the mouth. That'll give you the first indication. Dryness of the mouth. Most common symptom there is dryness of the mouth. So a couple other symptoms. The mouth and throat symptoms. Difficulty swallowing or eating. I think it's the first preachers. That's those who get up to preach first couple of times. The first time I got up here to preach, y'all remember back, preacher was here that night. I'm talking to these other guys, man, they didn't preacher here talk about cotton mouth. That was me that night. Loss of sense of taste. Difficulty speaking. Thick, I know this is gross, thick or stringy saliva. All right, happens with cotton mouth. Mouth sores or pain. All happens during cotton mouth. The children of Israel, I feel in this portion of Scripture, I believe as they're traveling through the wilderness in their time travel, they were thirsty. They began to get cotton mouth, and it brought about some things. I'm going to give you 3 points. Before I do, I'm going to give you an illustration. Growing up in Missouri, I've got an older brother and a younger sister, and we were out at July 4th at the Sharps' house. The Sharps are out of my dad's church there. And he's got 2 boys and a girl, and my family and my dad's family, we got 2 boys and a girl. And we were real close growing up. And my dad's brother, my dad's niece, came and was a teacher for my dad for quite a while. And she was over at the house on a July 4th, over the Sharps' house on July 4th. And all 6 of us kids were outside, and we were playing and just having a good time. And she had someone who was of interest to her that was there. And Brother Sharp had actually met the gentleman and set her up with my cousin. And so she was all goo-goo gaga over this guy that was there. And of course, he wanted to impress us young kids. So that day we were outside and we were walking the yard, and he was talking about all the trees and how these different trees that were out there. And each one of them, there was a different. He came to an oak tree. He said, "Boy, an oak tree, it produces acorns." And he was talking about that oak tree. And he went down and he was showing us one of the leaves of a maple tree, and he showed us the difference of what a maple tree looks like. And he went a little bit further down, and he was talking about a dogwood tree, and it wasn't. He said this wasn't in bloom. There's certain times of the year, and he was going around talking about each tree, and he got to a certain tree that day, and I'll never forget that tree ever. Forget that tree that day. He came to a tree, and he said, "This tree yields a fruit from this tree." And the fruit that day was on the ground. And that day he got all 6 of us lined up across the ground there. And he said, "Everybody sit kind of in a circle." And he got us all gathered up. And he said, "Now this tree yields a fruit that is just, oh, it is great to eat. If you've ever had this fruit, you will die to have it again." He said, "When you eat this fruit, you eat it as fast as you can. You do everything you can do to eat it as fast as you can." Now, of course, I'm all about a challenge. I'm an 8-year-old kid. I'm ready for a challenge. Nobody's stepping down from a challenge. Definitely not me. I'm a boy, so of course all of us guys were, man, we're ready to go. We're ready to eat this fruit. We're ready to go. It was a little green fruit. I say fruit. Not much of a fruit that I would like to remember it as. It was off that tree. As we began, he said, all right, on your marks, get set, go. And I just took a huge bite of a persimmon tree. If you know anything about persimmons, they will do all kinds of things to your mouth. I mean, my mouth began to pucker. I tried to get anything I could get in my mouth. Nothing helped. I mean, it was there. I took, chewed it, swallowed it. I mean, my mouth got cotton mouth beyond belief that day. I still remember the day that he challenged us to eat a persimmon. I will never touch a persimmon. I know exactly what a persimmon looks like. I can only imagine what those children of Israel were doing that day, what they were going through. And I can now never forget the time that I ate the persimmon. I believe the children of Israel got cotton mouth in their Christianity. The first point I want to show you how they got cotton mouth in their Christianity, turn to look at verse 2 of chapter number 17. The first thing I want to bring out is in the area of their communication to Christ. They got cotton mouth in the area of communication to Christ. Look at verse 2. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? He says, wait a second. Why are you mad at me? Don't get mad at me. What's he say after that? He says, therefore, do ye tempt the Lord? Are you mad at me? You better be mad at me. It's God. Now, you know, don't talk to me about it. God's the one that brought us through. God's the one that got us out of Egypt. He got us out of that guy named Pharaoh, if you didn't forget. He's the one that got us out of there. Why are you getting mad at me? I think a couple of things set in. Criticism set in amongst them. They began to chide. Criticism. Sarcasm. Some murmuring set in there. I don't think he's going to really do it. Moses, does he really know what he's doing? He's taking us into this wilderness. He's getting us far away. You know what he could have done? If I flip back a few chapters, you know what he could have done? He could have brought him right through the Philistines. He could have brought him right there, right by that area. God chose to take him right through the area he knew that he was supposed to take him through. God knows. God understands. He understands. As Christians, we do the same thing. We forget who we are talking to sometimes. We talk to God sometimes. God, do you really know what you're doing? Man, do you understand what I'm going through right now? Do you really understand? Do you comprehend? God says, yeah, I know. I fully comprehend. I fully understand what's going on. We're the ones that ask the questions. We're the ones that complain. We're the ones that are criticizing. We're the ones that, a little bit of sarcasm there. Boy, we had 117. Probably had a few more if I'd have been there a little bit longer. We probably, a little sarcastic, are we? I thank God, 117, one. I'm thanking the Lord for the one that got saved, the one that got saved here in the main auditorium. Thank the Lord for that. Kids sometimes say to their parents, well, you didn't tell me that. You didn't tell me that. Parents, what do we say most times? You didn't listen to the directions. You didn't follow directions. Now, I got to stop here because I teach a 7th and 8th grade math class. And that's pre-algebra this year. I teach a 7th and 8th grade math class. And 9 times out of 10, I get a hand raised in my class. And they come up and say, Brother Bragg, I've got a question. And you know when they got a question, I mean, smoke's coming out their ears. I mean, they've got a question. They got a question. I got a question about number 3. Okay. Number 3. Did you read number 3? Well, no. Then go back and sit down and read the question before you come up. You know, it's the same thing we do with God says, I've given you everything you need. I've given you the Word of God. I've given you the guidelines. I've given you the book to follow. I've given you exactly what you need. But you know what? We'd rather complain. We'd rather murmur about everything else. We fail in our communication to Christ is what happens. So the first area I see in the area of these Israelites is the first area in Cottonmouth deals with communication. Poor communication. Isn't that, I enjoyed Brother Howard. He got up and preached in chapel on Tuesday. And he said, you know, one of the best things that's ever helped me is having a planner. Having a planner. Having details, something I can follow. Something I can go to. You know what? As preacher, I've been in staff meetings before. And with preacher, he is detailed. He is a man that knows exactly what's going on. I strive to get even close to everything that he can comprehend and understand. Hey, you know, he knows it all, what's going on. And he knows details. You know, the fellows and the staff, we always use the phrase, Brother Mick and I started when we first got here, you know, they started with that adage, what would Jesus do? Or, what would Jesus do? We started, what would preacher do? That's been our phrase, what would preacher do would be the phrase we started with. And so we've carried that on. The second area, look in verse 3, the latter part of the verse there in verse 3. The second point I want to bring out is in the area of the carelessness to commitments. Carelessness to commitments. 3b there, it says, wherefore is that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? A little careless to commitments. Carelessness and commitment. Go over to Exodus chapter 6. Let me bring you up to speed on where we're at in Exodus 17. Go to Exodus chapter 6 and verse number 1. I'll start reading there. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall I let them go. He's talking about the children of Israel there. And with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with thee to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. I love this verse right here. And I will take to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Go on here. Verse 8, and I will bring you in unto the land concerning that which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give for an heritage, I am the Lord. Verse 9 here, look what the children of Israel say. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. He gave them the opportunity there. A few verses, a few chapters before, we see how in Exodus 6, God gave him. He was careful in his commitment. He said, I'll help you through. I'm committed to get you through. What did they say? No thanks, Lord. We'll make it on our own. You already got us into bondage already. We'll take care of ourselves. We're all right. God says, I'll help you. I am the Lord. I'll take unto you my people. I'll help you through this time. Why, as Christians, we do the same thing. We're in the same situation. We come to an altar. We say maybe the same thing over and over. We can make the same commitment. Oh, I'm coming down. I'm going to pray a prayer, and I'm going to do that this week. Next week, we're back doing the same exact thing. Why don't you stay with the commitment? Stay with what we had. The children of Israel, if they listened the first one, settle our commitments. When we get careless, we get cottonmouth. When we get careless, we get cottonmouth. Point number 3, as we keep moving on, cottonmouth Christianity, what does it ultimately bring? It ultimately brings, verse 4, we're going to get there, ultimately brings a concern with command. A concern with command. Look at verse 4. And Moses, the leader, supposed to be the valiant man here, and Moses cried to the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto the people? Moses, the leader, says, Lord, what am I going to do? What are you going to do? What can I do now? I'm going to get into that a little bit later of how what Moses is, but Moses says, Lord, what can I do? The command went before God with concerns. Concern, even commander sometimes gets. Moses said, what do I do, Lord? What am I going to do? It's one thing when people get concerned. When people get, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. It's another thing when you look for leadership and they're saying the same thing. When Moses is saying, Lord, now what are you going to do? They're going to stone me. They're going to kill me. Do you realize what they're going to do, Lord? Do you understand my circumstance? Do you understand what I'm going through right now? This situation? God says, yeah, I understand. I know what you're going through. I understand. Sometimes the concern, cottonmouth also happens sometimes, the concern with, you know, what happens to us, some of us, we begin to worry. Worry sets in. Cotton mouth brings worry. What am I going to do? I can't speak. I can't even really get anything in my mouth. I remember that day that I ate that persimmon. I thought it was permanent. I really did. He had us convinced. I didn't tell you that part of the story. He had us convinced, oh, this is forever. This is, you know, when my parents weren't out, they were inside. Oh, this is a permanent thing. I mean, he was a gem that day. Let me tell you, I've tried to get him back. I don't tell the story. My dad got my cousin back when I think he was just trying to get us back because he tricked my cousin into eating dog food. So he got her back. I think he was just passing it on to us. It kept going. He was passing on. Some of us need to stop. We're worrying about stuff. Remember who's in command of our lives. Who's in command? You worry about every little detail. You worry about everything. You can't get the next thing without worrying about it. Every time anything comes up, we worry about it. You know, God talks about that in the Scriptures, of worrying. Somebody who worries all the time. Fret not. The Bible talks about fret not thyself. We ought not to worry. How can you remember who's in command? How are we going to remember these things? How are we going to get over this thing of cottonmouth Christianity? I'll give you the last 3 points. How do we overcome cottonmouth Christianity? Go to verse 5 of Exodus 17. Exodus 17 and verse 5. And it says there, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river. Take in thine hand." What's he say there? And go. God tells him to go. I'm staying with my C's if you're following on your points here. I'm staying with my C's here. Continue on. Continue on. Don't stop. Continue on. Don't quit. Keep going. Don't stop at a point. Continue on. Keep it moving. God says, I'm not going to give up. We've got to prove it one more time. We're going to have to prove it one more time. But don't quit. Don't get cottonmouth Christianity. If we stop, what's going to happen? We talked about what the consequences are. Lungs begin to fail. Breathing, all that kind of stuff fails. If we stop in our Christian lives and stop, if I want to, as I say in my notes here, stop to smell the roses sometimes and think about what God can do to us, we should just keep continuing on. Keep pushing on. Keep going. Continue on. I got to use an illustration. I was going to use the Johnson boys here. So I'll use Tony if you can represent Moses tonight. And I'll just get in the line. Moses, if he can represent, I know he's a good Moses, you know, stay right down there. Dana, you can represent one of the children of Israel. Nick's around here somewhere. And then Jake, I'll use you as the other one. So, Nick, you're another children of Israel. And then follow right behind Nick Nelson. I'm sorry, Nick Nelson, if you'll follow right behind Jake, right behind Nick. You here? Nick Johnson, I'm sorry, Nick Johnson. I'm sorry, I keep saying Nick Nelson. Jake. All right, so Moses leading his children of Israel. Moses leading here. Moses says, what am I going to do? So Moses saying, what am I going to do? We've got Dan behind him, who's one of the children of Israel, saying, why? Moses, why? Moses, why am I going through this? We've got another guy, Nick, behind him saying, I'm thirsty. We got Jake behind him saying, hey, I'm hungry. I'm hungry in this situation. So I got to have the Moses leading his children of Israel. You got to say, God, why? You got to tell him, why, Moses? You got to say, hey, I'm thirsty. You got to say, hey, I'm hungry. Come on up through, up on the platform here. I got to hear you. You're the children of Israel. Boy, they're bad children of Israel. They're disobedient too. I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. Boy, they're disobedient. I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. God says, hold on. Hold on. Stop right there. He tells him, he said, hey, I provided for you. I provided manna, didn't I? Have a seat. I provided manna for you. Or I provided water for you. Hey, I provided for you. Continue on. Keep going. Don't stop. Continue on. I provided these things for you and you stopped. Don't stop. Keep going. Keep moving on. Continue on. I'll move on. Second point. As I keep going, I think, as I mentioned that point, I think of the young people as they sing that song. Oftentimes they sing that song. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Strength for today is mine all the way. and all that I need for tomorrow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. That's all it is, folks. That's all we have to do is continue, follow on. Strength for today, forever. That's what we get. Point number two, if we can go over to Exodus chapter 4, and I'll mention my point, we'll read in Exodus chapter 4. The second point I want to mention is on how to get over cottonmouth Christianity is consider the unlikely sources. Consider the most unlikely sources. God used Moses, Exodus chapter 4 and verse 10, it says, "And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither here to fore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of slow tongue." Moses said, "Lord, you really think I'm the one?" He said, "I stutter, I stammer. Lord, do you understand who you're talking about? I'm talking to you, do you understand? I can't do it. I can't get through." You know, he was somebody who used every excuse there was. God uses folks and considers those from the most unlikely sources. We wouldn't have thought Moses wouldn't have thought, "Lord, you want me to go through? You want me to take your children of Israel through?" The most unlikely sources. God uses those unlikely. You remember the story. Preacher used the illustration. You remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man. He could have used the rich man. Man, the guy that was clothed with purple and fine linen. Instead, he used a guy on the street who was full of sores, who laid on the street begging. He used somebody else. You never know who's God going to consider as the most unlikely source. What happened when the rich man got to heaven, or got to hell? You know what happened was he looked for that poor begging Lazarus. He looked for him to dip his finger into water just to cool his tongue. He says, "I know Lazarus is in Abraham's bosom. Just bring him over to dip his finger in the tongue. I'm thirsty." Talk about a permanent cotton mouth. Hell's going to be that place. Hell's going to be forever that place. He was the same way. Throughout the Bible, God considered the most unlikely sources. Moses, a man slow of speech. David, a little shepherd boy. He even used a donkey to speak. Most unlikely of sources. He even sometimes used ladies. Ruth and Naomi, he used some of those people. You never know who God's going to consider. Maybe you in this room. He may even use somebody like that killed Christians, like Paul did. He killed people. But yet God used the most unlikely. Consider the most unlikely. It could be you. You say, "I'm slow. I don't understand." If you'd have seen me at 15, 16, 17-year-old, there is no way this boy would have been up here. There is no way. But you know what? God did something in my life. God put something in my life that I knew I wanted to be a part of the next generation. I wanted to help in the next generation. I wanted to consider. He was, to me, the most unlikely. So I knew I was always one of those people, it's going to be somebody else. It was definitely going to be somebody else. No way. The last thing I'm going to do is teach in a Christian school. And praise the Lord, I'm teaching in a Christian school. Amen. And I wouldn't trade it for the world. What I want to point out there, consider the most unlikely sources. God can use anybody. He just might use you. It just may be you tonight. Considering cottonmouth Christianity, sometimes God considers the most unlikely source. Lastly, and I'll finish with this, Exodus, back over to Exodus 17, if you'll turn back over there. I'll finish the story off. Exodus 17, verse 9, we'll pick it up there. "Moses said unto Joshua, Choose us out men, and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek." That means destroyed there. "He discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, Write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, for he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. I see, my last point is, that God controls and conquers. God's got everything under control, and ultimately, He will conquer. He'll get the victory if we allow, and get cottonmouth Christianity. If we get that out of our life, we can get those things about our communication. We can get that thing of carelessness out of our life. If we can get that those things getting rid of, if we can get rid of worry out of our life, He can bring that to pass. I first see that Moses didn't control the sword. He didn't have control the sword alone. He needed some help from Aaron and from her. He needed some help. Why is it that we think that we're gonna do it ourselves? We're going to get through things ourselves. We're going to make it on our own. Tell me why we think that. Our spiritual battles, we're going to take care of it all by ourselves. We're the ones that are going to make it through. Nobody else has been there. They don't understand. I don't know, Brother Jason, Brother Mick can understand this. Teenagers come sometimes. I just didn't want to say anything. I just couldn't say anything. I didn't know how to bring it out. Preacher, so wise that this year we instituted in our school the method of get help, don't get caught. Get help, don't get caught. Bring it to somebody. You know, 10 years ago, okay, it's been so long ago that I was in high school. Like I know it's been like 40 for Brother Jason, but I mean it hasn't been that long ago for me. I've been there. You know, there are some people that can help. Go to somebody. Oh, he's the usher. Oh, he's somebody else. Go to somebody. They can help. Go to somebody who's been there. I know it's been maybe a while. You think that they never went through teenage years. They never struggled in their life. Yeah, they've been there. They've been there, done that before. They've gone through some of the things with Cottonmouth Christianity. Maybe they could help. Maybe they could be there to help you get through. Oh, but nobody else understands my situation. It's particular to me. I understand. It only happens to you. One person in the world, and you're the one that bad thing happened to. Sure, okay, I got it. I understand. Trials come before us. We often fail to get a prayer warrior near us. We often fail in the area of finding a prayer warrior. You know, there's some people in this church who are prayer warriors. The Bible talks about those of a hoary head, those who are white-haired. Well, I enjoy talking to the folks in this church who are older than me, and quite a bit older than me. I enjoy talking to those folks. Because they've been there, they know those things. They've been there, done that before. They know how things happen. You say, well, he's old guy, never says anything. He's kind of grumpy. I don't know if he's, you know what? Maybe say something to him. Maybe he's waiting for you to come and say something to him. Maybe he's waiting for you to be the first one to react. Prayer warriors will help you get involved in those things. Along with this, conquer the battles. Get complete victory. Get complete victory. Don't just knock the devil down and let him back up again. Get complete victory. The problem in our lives, we come down and getting things right and think everything's settled. We never get the complete victory. The conqueror's there. The Lord has allowed us to conquer and take care of the devil. And we just quit. We just stop. Why is that? I think we get cottonmouth sometimes. Take control and conquer, or cottonmouth Christianity will set in. That's my last point, cottonmouth Christianity. Consider the unlikely sources and continue on. Consider the most unlikely sources and just continue on. Don't worry about those things. Communication, all right? Cottonmouth communication. Cottonmouth and our carelessness. And sometimes we worry about those things we shouldn't worry about. Let God take control. Continue on. Keep pushing on. Take control. Move on. Let God control and ultimately He'll get there. There's somebody else out there that can help us, folks. There's a God in heaven who knows, who understands, who's been there. He understands. Again, that song, "My Lord Knows the Way through the Wilderness." All I have to do is follow. Let's bow our heads and we'll pray this evening. Lord, I thank You again for the opportunity to preach. Lord, I pray that, again, You'd use the message. Lord, there may be somebody here that may be struggling in the area of their communication. There may be somebody here that is just careless in their commitments. There may be somebody here that just is worrying about things. They can't get that out of life. Maybe they're caught in mouth in those certain areas. Lord, I pray that we get that right. Lord, I pray that we take it to You. And we'll give You all the glory for it. And here I pray.